Welcome to your moon tour. I'm Fred Watson, and I'm going to take you on a trip around our nearest celestial neighbour. From the Apollo landing sites to the stunning lava plains and the craters that dot its surface. We've wondered at the moon's beauty for thousands of years. Many traditional cultures give it a human form. For the ancient Greeks, it was female. But in Australian indigenous cultures, it's a male. Life on Earth probably wouldn't have evolved to the point it has without the moon's stabilizing effect on our planet and its seasons. It takes 27 days, 7 hours, 43 minutes and 12 seconds to travel in its orbit once around Earth. Throughout that orbit, the same side of the moon always faces the Earth because of our planet's gravitational pull. So we only ever see one face of the moon with these same familiar markings. If you look closely, you'll see grey patches. These are ancient lava flows, but we call them maria, the Latin word for seas, which is what early sky watchers thought they were. The brighter regions are mountainous and pockmarked with craters. Our side of the moon is very different from the far side. We can see from images taken by spacecraft that there are lots of mountains and craters, and the crust is thicker on the far side, but there are very few seas. Perhaps that's because while it was still forming, Earth was extremely hot and slowed down rock formation on the side that faces us. So let's take a closer look at our side of the moon. You'll get the best view if you use binoculars or a small telescope. The maria, or seas, and many of the craters were named by an Italian astronomer called Giovanni Battista Riccioli in 1651. If you squint hard enough, you might be able to make out a face out of the dark patches. What you'll see depends on where you live. The face looks completely different in the Northern Hemisphere, where most of the dark patches are towards the top left of the moon. If you live on the equator, the moon looks like it's lying on its side. In the Southern Hemisphere, most of the seas are in the bottom half of the moon's face, and the South Pole is actually at the top.
Okay, engine stop. Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Look to the left eye of the face as it appears to us. The Sea of Tranquility is the most famous of the seas. This is where astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin stepped on the moon in July 1969 and became the first humans to walk on another world.
I'm going to step off the land now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
They landed the Apollo 11 lunar module near the edge of the Sea of Tranquility and spent 2.5 hours collecting rocks and doing experiments on the moon's surface. We can't see the actual landing site in much detail from Earth, but it can be seen by spacecraft that orbit the moon. If you scan down to the bottom of the moon's left eye, you'll come to the top of the next sea, the Sea of Serenity. This is where the last human mission to the moon, Apollo 17, landed. It's the messiest of the moon landing sites, with lots of footprints and a moon buggy. On the other side of the Sea of Serenity is the Sea of Rains. It's the mouth of the face in the moon. Apollo 15 landed in this area near a mountain range, the Apennines, which runs between the two seas. Moving upwards, above the Sea of Rains, is the Ocean of Storms. At 4 million square kilometres, it dominates the moon's right side as we see it. Towards the centre of this large grey patch is a circular bright patch. Can you see it? This is a 93 kilometre wide crater called Copernicus. It's named after a 16th century astronomer, Nicolaus Copernicus, who proposed that the Sun was at the centre of the solar system. Just above Copernicus, towards the centre of the face, is where Apollo 12 and 14 both landed. Moving towards the top right-hand corner of the Moon, you'll come across another bright crater, Tycho. It was named after the greatest observer of the sky in the pre-telescopic age, Tycho Brahe. It's a bit smaller than Copernicus, but if you look carefully, you might see rays. These are lighter coloured streaks of material that were ejected when an asteroid slammed into the Moon's surface to make the crater. One of Tycho's rays actually stretches right down to the Sea of Tranquility, thousands of kilometres away. Apollo 16 landed in the highlands between Tycho and the Sea of Tranquility. Rock samples collected by the Apollo 16 astronauts confirmed that Tycho is young, only about 108 million years old. Most craters on the Moon are almost 4 billion years old. Above the Sea of Tranquility are the Sea of Nectar and the Sea of Fertility. And finally, right out on the left-hand side and a little hard to spot, is the Sea of Crises. How much of the Moon you see, and when you can see it, changes from day to day. The phases are caused by the position of the Moon in relation to the Sun. At the beginning of the cycle, the new moon roughly lines up with the sun. As the Earth moves around the sun, each month the moon has a little further to go to return to its starting position. That means a lunar cycle, or a moonth, is a couple of days longer than it takes to orbit the Earth. While you can see all the seas during a full moon, you'll get a much better view of some of the features in the 2 weeks leading up to a full moon. The waxing crescent moon appears as a sliver of light above the western horizon a couple of days into the new moonth. It's lit up from the left, as we see it in the southern hemisphere, but on the right side as seen from the northern hemisphere. The line between dark and light is called the Terminator. Let's look at how that changes over time and what you can see. As it gets darker, you might be able to see the dusky disk of the full moon faintly illuminated. This beautiful phenomenon is called Earthshine, and that gives you the clue. It's sunlight bouncing off the Earth being reflected back to the moon. Earthshine is sometimes called the old moon in the arms of the new, and it was Leonardo da Vinci who figured out what causes it. As the days go by, the crescent moon gets progressively fatter, and you'll notice that it gets higher in the sky. If you have binoculars or a telescope, you'll be able to see the shadows of craters and cliffs lit up by the sun at an angle. One by one throughout the moonth, the seas are revealed. First there is the Sea of Crises, then the Sea of Fertility, and the Seas of Nectar and Tranquility. If you could have seen the moon in 1969 when the Apollo 11 mission landed, this is what it would have looked like. The astronauts used the shadows cast by the sun to identify landmarks on the Sea of Tranquility. By the time the Terminator divides the moon in half, the whole left-hand side of the face is revealed. Although half the moon is lit up, it's known as a first quarter moon because it's a quarter of the way around its orbit. In the evenings following first quarter, the moon swells further to become gibbous. From night to night, your binoculars will show the craters Tycho with its ray system and Copernicus and steadily more of the ocean of storms, not forgetting the sea of rains on its lower edge, the mouth of the face in the moon. And you can see the Apennines. By the time the full face is revealed, it's harder to make out the crater walls and mountains. The shadows have disappeared because the sunlight is coming from directly behind us. The full moon rises at sunset and is in the sky all night. The moon's about a quarter of the size of the Earth. It looks bigger near the horizon than it does when it's high in the sky, thanks to an optical illusion called, not surprisingly, the moon illusion. You can easily prove that it's the same size in either case by holding a pencil at arm's length and noticing that it just covers the full moon, whether it's low on the horizon or high in the sky. It's also slightly bigger when it's at its closest to us, a distance of about 360,000 kilometres. Even though some people call it a supermoon, when it's a full moon close to us, you won't really see any difference at all. Once the moon is past its full phase, it gradually shrinks and gets up later in the night. Within 2 weeks, it disappears, and the cycle starts again with the new moon. What phase is it tonight? Well, we hope you've enjoyed this tour of the moon, and you can go out not just tonight, but any night to admire its beauty. After all, this is something we've been doing for thousands of years, tens of thousands in our ancient continent down under.